Welcome to the Tezaurus Linguae Latinae podcast, in which we present short biographies of Latin words. My name is Kathleen Coleman, James Loeb Professor of the Classics at Harvard University, and today I'm going to talk to you about the Latin word horreum, H-O-R-R-E-U-M, which has really captured my imagination. If you've been to Ostia Antica, the ancient port of Rome at the mouth of the Tiber, you'll probably have been struck by the enormous warehouses along the riverfront. It's hard not to be impressed by a building like the huge brick structure put up in the 2nd century by two freedmen, Epagathos and Epaphroditos. I'm sure you remember it, with its grand brick entrance surmounted by a pediment and its proud marble inscription, Horrea Epagathiana et Epaphroditiana. The Horrea of Epagathos and Epaphroditos. You probably also peered inside to glimpse the courtyard with its mosaic floor and the two niches in exquisite brickwork that are built into the wall facing the entrance. The goods that were stored here must have been very valuable for their guardian deities to receive offerings in such elegant shrines. And the complicated housings for the fastenings to keep the gates locked also suggest that the contents were of considerable value. Was it only grain that was stored here, or were there other stuffs even more precious? What, in short, were horrea? To answer that question, I turned to the Thesaurus Linguae Latinae, that treasury of the Latin language, still in the process of compilation, that is based on every single attested instance from the very earliest appearance of a Latin word until approximately AD 600. There I discovered to my surprise that the etymology of horrea, horreum in the singular, is unknown. In antiquity it was believed, erroneously, to be derived from hordeum, meaning barley, an etymology which, while worthless for its implausible sound change, is nevertheless telling as evidence for the close association of this structure with grain. The word also turns out to have very unstable grammatical gender. It is normally neuter, but feminine and even masculine forms are also attested. Its spelling is equally unstable. In addition to the standard spelling of horreum with two R's and an E, we find horreum with one R and one E, horreum with two R's and an I, and horreum with one R and one I. These variants are found in papyri and inscriptions, suggesting perhaps the use of the word by merchants and others with limited education whose spelling was a little shaky. The word is also transliterated into Greek, sometimes with a rough breathing for the aspirate, sometimes not, sometimes with two rows, sometimes one, sometimes with an omicron, sometimes an omega. These transliterated forms bear witness to the ubiquity of the word. Instead of being replaced by the Greek equivalent, horreum must have been so common as to have received its naturalization papers in Greek, so to speak. So, the Thesaurus told me all that fascinating information, even before I got as far as a definition. But once I was there, I discovered that the scholar who wrote the article about it divided the word in a perfectly straightforward way, between literal and metaphorical uses. The literal meaning, in the narrow sense, describes a structure used for storing goods. These buildings are usually granaries, but they can also be specialized warehouses, either for fancy foodstuffs or for non-edible items. Seneca, for example, replying to Lucilius's complaints about needing books, even talks about a library as a horreum. "Whatever books I have, I'm ready to send you and clean out the whole horreum," he says. Books are, of course, mental nourishment. From this section of the article, I also discovered that a horreum can be the equivalent of the garage or the basement, a place where you can put things that need to be kept but are also liable to neglect. I love that idea. The Romans couldn't bear to throw stuff away, but they needed a place to keep it where it would be safe and they could just forget about it. And that place was a horreum. Still illustrating the literal meaning in the narrow sense, horreum can also be applied to entities that behave like warehouses, such as towns that collect grain from a particular region, or even, in one of Apuleius's witticisms, a donkey laden with foodstuffs. And by metonymy, it can be applied not to a storage structure, but what is stored in that structure, which is usually grain, but can also be other types of food. So much for the narrow meaning of structures where things are stored. Still sticking with the literal sense, the TLL shows that there's also a broader meaning, whereby a horium is not necessarily a built structure, or reminiscent of one, like Apuleius's donkey, but any sort of storage container, including Virgil's description of a hole where mice live in the Georgics. Often the tiny mouse makes its home in horia underground. Or an ear of corn, which Menalius describes storing its seeds in cells and granaries, kelas atque horia. Or the stomach, where we store what we eat. Or a cow's udder, which is her horium for her milk. Or even a fountain, which is a horium for water. Contrasted with these literal meanings, all of which relate to an actual physical entity, be it a brick warehouse or a mouse hole, is the metaphorical horium. Heaven or the church, for example, is a horium where God's faithful are assembled. The metaphor of God's faithful packed into heaven like seed in a granary is predicated on the vivid prediction by John the Baptist, recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, that the Messiah will separate the wheat of the repentant from the chaff of the unrepentant. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Think about it for a moment. If we are grain in a granary, we will be used later to feed others, or be planted to yield a new harvest. This must have been an inspiring thought for those early converts to Christianity. Such is the stirring power of metaphor. One other metaphorical horium seems to me even more poignant. That is the horium constituted by the recesses of your mind, where you store your memories. St. Augustine makes the metaphor explicit, remarking in his treatise on the Gospel according to John, "You commend this to your memory, stored in its recesses as if, quasi, in a horium, or as if, quasi, in a treasury." Rufinus combines the metaphor of the horium with the comparable metaphor of a conclave, a strong room, to show the importance of remembering what is right and recalling what is good. I quote, "It happens that someone has filled his horia with the fruits of justice and filed many good works in the strong room of his conscience. Conscientiae suae conclavi." Those great brick warehouses built by the freedmen of the empire that held the promise of plenty in the face of want have been commuted into the storehouses of memory, filled with nourishment for occasions when our spirits need replenishing. The TLL article on horium, in short, tells an intriguing story that takes us from the bricks and mortar foundations of the ancient economy, storing the staple commodity of the ancient diet, to the persuasive techniques of the ancient preacher, urging his audience to amass the resources to live an upright life. The Thesaurus Linguae Latinae is a treasury of the Latin language, to be sure.